This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, one and all. Franklin Proctor here, the sous chef of the garden.
Yeah, that's right. The under gardener.
Well, let's not demote me too much. She was going out the door here.
Well,
my main job, of course, is to get the phone numbers on the air. Yes. So let me take care of that first, okay? We look forward to your calls. In fact, well, we'd really like to hear from you because, you know, this is a slow time of year. Let's face it. If so, if you just want to say Happy New Year to Charlie and Frank, that'd be great. Anyway, in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it is toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And before I do anything else, can I just send a good morning and a nice shout out to Janine Holman, who sent me a very nice letter saying that she just loves The Garden Show.
Oh, excellent.
So there you go. Her Saturday isn't complete unless she's listening to The Garden Show.
Well, then, hello, Janine, and welcome to the show. Do not be a stranger.
I received a lot of Christmas cards, too, from the listeners. Yeah, it was really nice.
Nice. And they all, of course, praise The Garden Show.
Well, yes.
Or either you're a pretty famous guy. I mean, you do a lot of shows here.
Big Band Sunday Night is gaining in popularity, I think.
Yes.
I haven't any official word on that yet.
Well, I guess we have to find that out. And Theater of the Mind, too. I mean, you're like everywhere.
Yeah, I'm ubiquitous.
Good word. Good word. I like it.
So listen, how are things coming along out of the farm there?
Oh, the farm, I love that. When I left yesterday, it was looking pretty muddy.
Yeah.
A lot of mud.
You don't have much snow in Prince Edward County.
It
right
all
now.
Melted there, just like it melted here. I mean, guess what I got for Christmas? Cross-country skis.
Oh, no kidding.
I love the idea of going cross-country skiing. And I could actually technically go out my back door if there was snow.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed. Of course, my dream is lots and lots and lots of snow, but not on the roads.
Right.
Right? So I just think that the clouds have to align themselves properly so we have perfect snowfall all over the land, but not on the roads.
Very good. You know what I did forget? Was to mention our little mantra, call early, call often, one question per call. And if you are a first-time caller, please let Duncan know. He'll relay that information to me. And before you get the airwaves, you're going to hear that.
That's for
first-time callers only.
There you go.
Get your garden wings. Okay.
Get your garden wings. Okay. I did get a nice thing in the mail today, just in case you're interested. It's a book that is not yet out and available, but will be available February 1st, called Saving Seeds.
Uh-huh.
It's a home gardener's guide to preserving plant biodiversity.
Okay.
So it's written by a guy who is based in Salt Spring Island, so out in British Columbia. Have you ever been to Salt Spring?
No, I have not.
Nice spot to go, if you get a chance. So he did. He founded a heritage seed company called Salt Spring Seeds. He's the author of a number of books, and it's absolutely true that if we save seeds, we preserve the genes within those seeds, as opposed to buying the trademarked cultivars that are available in the packages at the stores. Mm-hmm. So if you've had good success with a plant, always consider saving seeds from that plant for the next season. But again, depending on where that plant came from, sometimes seeds do or do not breed true. But just a couple of quick tips for anybody who's thinking about saving seeds. And the reason I bring this up is because we are coming to the time of year where we have Seedy Saturdays and Seedy Sundays. Seed swap. It's seed swap time, January, February, March. So just for those of you looking for a couple of quick tips, harvest seeds when they are mature and dry on the plants. Makes sense.
Okay.
Harvest by plucking, shaking, or rubbing them into a bucket or bag. So no cutting them off. I think about my poppies. I brought poppy seeds from Richmond Hill with me.
All right. Yes.
And poppies are so cool. It's called a capsule. After the petals fall, what's left behind the fruit is this neat little
pod.
Yeah, it's, yeah, but it's not like a legume pod. It's a, it's got a flat top and a curved. It's like a cup, basically. Okay. And the seeds ripen. And once they're ripe, on the top surface of that little cup, the little openings, there's a name for them, but little openings open. And then as the plant blows in the wind, the seeds eject out of the opening in the top of that, that little fruit body, whatever, again, whatever it's called, I can't remember. There's a name for the actual capsule right. that the seeds form in. But yeah, no, it's so cool. So yeah, shaking, plucking to get some of the seeds. And so often seeds are quite easy to get a hold of. They're not something you have to really go after too hard. Just have a container ready.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Nicely done. A little information passed along.
We have and to more to come.
Yep. We have our first caller coming up in moments. We'll be saying hi to Helen, who's calling in from Brampton. Hang tight, Helen. We're coming at you in just a couple of moments here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, what I forgot to mention was that Helen, our first caller this morning from Brampton, is a first-time caller.
Yay.
You know what that means. There you
Welcome
go.
Welcome to the show. Hey,
good morning, Helen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I want to say Happy New Year to Charlie and Frank.
Thank you.
And I'd like to know about a clematis, a Lincoln Star.
Okay.
I've got, it's 2 years old, and it produced lots of leaves last year and five pale flowers. Now, what am I doing wrong?
Oh, probably nothing. Tell me where you've got it planted.
I've got it right on the south side near the tool shed.
Okay, so it's growing up into lots of light, so it's getting good sun. What about the base of the plant? Is it also in a lot?
Brown-eyed Susans.
Oh, perfect. You know what? You're not doing anything wrong. Really? Yeah, you know what you're probably doing that so many people do, which is they worry that they're doing something wrong. And and then they think, oh, this plant isn't performing the way I expect it to, and they move it. They give it like 2 years, and then they go, oh, no, this can't be the right spot, and then they move it. And again, not a lot happens. 2 years later, they move it. It becomes this poor little plant getting moved all over the place. It never gets a chance to just hunker down, get established. This is a plant. Clematis in general need to get their roots down, established into the ground. Once that happens, then look out. The whole top just takes off on you. Lots of leaves, lots of flowers. But
what about the trimming? Do I do that in the spring?
Yes, with that one, that's considered a summer. I'm just double checking that it is a summer flowering clematis, which I believe it is. It's very pretty. I just brought up a picture here.
It is. It's a beautiful flower.
Isn't it?
So there's so many different kinds of clematis. Excuse me. I'm just, multi-stem 20. It looks to me like it is what we call a summer flowering. So that means that we expect to see lots and lots of blooms in late June, throughout July. Mm-hmm. So when clematis are the bloom at that time, then yes, hack it right down in the spring. So take that plant down to being about 6 inches tall in the spring. All the vines.
All the vines.
Yep.
Everything
that's up there.
Like a bush.
Yeah. Everything that's up. And of course you've provided a trellis or something for it to grow on.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
So that's the main thing. Whatever grew up last year, it's all brown and crispy now.
Yes.
Usually what I do is I wait and you'll start to see when the weather starts to improve and, you know, the birds are singing and the sun is shining, little buds will start to show up on your clematis vines. They look like little tiny mouse ears. They're little gray, fuzzy buds.
Okay.
Soon as you see those buds, then you know it's time to cut the whole thing down. But like I say, you're cutting it down to about 6 inches tall. And the best thing about that is then you get lots of new growth from the base, so much thicker, denser plant, and obviously lots more flowers as a result.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Well, okay.
Don't
all
be
the best,
a stranger.
Helen. Yeah. All the best in the new year, too. Roaring 20s.
Roaring 20s.
We hope it's going to be roaring and not warring.
And not boring.
And not boring either. You're right. Oh, I see we have another caller here already.
Look.
Okay, a reminder, we do have several lines open right now, 416-360-0740, or anywhere in the province toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. But off to Scarborough we scamper with Josie in mind. Hi, Josie, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, my question is, the seeds that I harvest in the fall, can they be stored in the fridge?
It's really funny you say that, because that's exactly what Frank said during the break. Depends on the seeds. I think generally speaking, we don't need to store them in the fridge per se. Where you want to store seeds is in an airtight, labeled container in a cool, dark place.
Okay. I've been storing them in an envelope, mm-hmm. you know, sealed up. Mm-hmm. And but for the last 3 years, and it's only with the bean, mm-hmm. you know, bean seeds, mm-hmm. These little black insects seem to attack them, and they just create these little round holes
yeah.
in them.
And then they destroy them. They won't grow.
Yeah, and it's only the beans.
Yeah, so those insects are on those bean seeds when you're harvesting them, which you're not seeing necessarily. So one of the tips from this Saving Seeds book that I mentioned by Dan Jason is after you've harvested your seeds, place them on trays or screens in a warm, sunny spot for a few days so bugs can flee and every last seed dries. So that's went back, you know, at harvest time. So that would be the end of the summer when you are doing that harvesting. It's that laying them out, letting them really dry down and letting whatever insects might be on them to abandon ship. Oh. Now, once you've got them dried down and you're placing them in, like you said, envelopes, I would then label my envelopes and put that into a glass jar because you want that airtight seal.
Oh, so this year I thought I would put them in the fridge. Mm. See, hoping that the...
If the bugs are there, they're sleeping probably in the fridge. So, yeah.
And yet with a few bean seeds that don't get bitten, I get beautiful beans all summer. It's just so good.
Yeah, so those are seeds you want to hold on to for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
okay,
the challenge.
I'll try that. That sounds good, too.
Yeah, and I'll double check if I've got more ideas on how to make sure that your seeds are clean before they get stored for the winter. So as you say, the harvesting isn't the hard part. It's how do I store them in order to make sure that they survive in good condition.
Yeah. But now, are these insects inside the beans?
Probably.
The seeds.
Yep, probably.
Because you don't see them.
No, you won't see them. And they're tiny to start. Well, and it depends. If they're a boring type of an insect, then the larvae are tiny, tiny. It's almost microscopic. So, yeah, and you might be a good candidate for this book. It's, like I say, going to be available for sale February the 1st. It's just a small, soft cover. Looks like a pretty easy read. Nice graphics, $14.95.
And the title again, Charlie?
Saving Seeds, A Home Gardener's Guide to Preserving Plant Biodiversity by Dan Jason at a Salt Spring Island.
Hey. Okay, I'll watch for that.
All righty.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
Much.
Excellent. And you know, I'm looking at our monitor, and son of a gun, we have two first-time callers awaiting online, and we'll be to them moments from now as you listen into The Garden Show as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. Back with Charlie Dobbin in moments.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's once again have Franklin reach for the bell.
Oh, I like it when you get exercise.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Hey, that's for Annette calling in from Port Hope. Good morning, Annette. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
And happy 2020.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to
great new decade, too.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask you, Charlie, I have a houseplant, African violet. I have it in. I put it in the windowsill that's facing south. Mm. And it's not... flowering. How do I get it to flower?
How long have you had that plant?
I've had it now for, let's see, about a year and a half. I'm in a new house in Port Hope.
Okay. And have you transplanted it by any chance, or is it still in its original pot?
It's in its original pot.
Okay, good.
It isn't outgrowing the pot.
That's fine. Keep it in its original pot. African violets are funny that way. You can leave them for many years in the same pot they come in, and that's always the best to get them to bloom. Now, a south window is likely a little too bright. Are there shears or anything over those windows?
Well, I have some Yes, I do. But the house next door sort of blocks the light anyway.
Okay. Because just sort of, generally speaking, an African violet's like bright but indirect light. So perhaps you're getting that in that south window. They do not want to be in direct light. The
and they
little
only
leaves.
Water it once a week.
Right.
From the bottom.
With warm, like room temperature water.
Room temperature water from the bottom.
From the bottom. Okay.
Once a week.
So I tend to not water by the calendar. I water more by the feel of the soil. So I always touch the surface of the soil when it starts to feel dry. And there's quite a difference between moist and spongy and dry.
What about the advisability of a moisture meter? Would that be a good
it
idea?
It could, but there's
I used to be in a house
dry.
At Ajax,
yes.
And I had beautiful luck with African violet.
Yeah, yeah.
It was wonderful there.
So you need to find that magical spot. Is there any drafts on that plant? Because it does not want drafts, hot or cold.
No. Also, for example, the orchids, they don't like drafts either.
That's right. No, they don't.
My children gave me an African. No, they gave me an orchid for my birthday. It was in November last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like not 2019, but 2018. Okay.
Right.
And okay, so the flowers dropped off. The leaves are still green, but they it doesn't seem to be doing anything. And they say a cousin of mine says put an ice cube in. Mm. I don't know. Is that good?
No, I'm not a big fan of the ice cube. It's a form of watering that some of the growers promote when they sell their plants because it's a simple way. It's 3 ice cubes a week. And the advantage of an ice cube is that it slowly melts. So it slowly waters the orchids because orchids, as you know, they're not in regular soil. So when we water them, the water goes whoosh right through. So a slow watering can be more effective. But you know what I would say? It sounds to me like that southern spot with the not direct sunlight is good for both your orchid and your African violet. Maybe what you need to do is do a trip to your local garden center, pick up, and this is one of the few times when I am specific about fertilizers, African violets need their own specific African violet food, and so do orchids. They need their own specific orchid food. So maybe, and we are getting to the right time of year to be using both of those items on those plants as per instructions on the packages. So generally, I'm a all-purpose fertilizer person, but not when it comes to African violets or orchids. They are very specific. So do get a hold of fertilizer. If you don't have that, I think you'll find everything's going to bust into bloom for you.
How long does it take?
Oh, gosh. If they're happy plants, they're not overwatered, the light and temperatures are fine, you'd be surprised. A week, literally, 10 days, 2 weeks, they'll be busting out in bloom. Like, I have orchids that are shooting up flower stems right now, and that's it. You know, remember, the big orchid show happens here in Toronto every Valentine, so that's coming up, and there's all kinds of orchids just busting out into bloom at this time of year.
I know, Charlie, you do the garden show, don't you?
Yes.
The one downtown.
Oh, no.
I used to. The Canada Bloom Show, yeah. I used
Canada
to.
Blooms. Don't you do that anymore?
No, I don't. No. Yeah, so that's got other people are running that. No, I teach now. I teach at the colleges instead of doing the big show down in Toronto.
I didn't know that. I know that was a beautiful show.
Yeah, it was when I did it.
You're right. That's what I went when you were doing it.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks for your
thank
call,
you, Annette. And good luck with the
Happy
African
New
violets.
Year.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. And once again, as I look at the clock, what are we, coming up to 9:30 already.
Wow.
My gosh. Can you believe it? Another first-time caller, Evelyn in Scarborough. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I just want to say, Charlie, that often I listen to your show as often as I can. And lots of times I have a problem with a plant and I think, oh, what am I going to do? And before I can get to the internet, I'll remember something you said.
Aww.
So that's just a little thing I wanted to tell you.
That's great.
Right now it's mandevilla.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying for the first time to winter over.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the internet and they say cut back. And they say cut back early spring, late winter, before the new shoots come out. But my new shoots, some of them were like 3 feet long already.
Shooting as we speak. So you've got it in a nice sunny patio door or something?
Inside in my home.
Yeah, of course.
South, and they get light from the west.
Right. So nice and bright, and it's responding to that light. And believe it or not, our days are getting longer, and the plants know it. So responding to that as well. So a couple of things. I mean, mandevilla are one of those plants that sometimes people just put them into like a semi-dormancy. So they cut them back and put them in the basement where it's cool and dark, and they kind of ignore them for the winter. And you don't really know if they're alive or not because there's nothing happening, but you hope that they're going to perk up and start growing as soon as you bring them upstairs into the warmth and the light. What you're doing, I'm more familiar with, which is to keep a tropical plant that's been outside all summer growing inside as a house plant. So whether it's a geranium or hibiscus or mandevilla, keep them growing if you've got lots of bright light, which you do. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So your only thing is you will have to do some cutting back. The question is when to do it to be most optimal.
And how much?
Oh, you're going to be doing some pretty hard cutting back in probably February. So if you can hold off for the next couple of weeks, if these big long shoots are shooting out, twine them around and try and sort of let the plant produce some green leaves and green stems, which will maximize photosynthesis, maximize more growth. And then early February, get out your chainsaw and just give that plant at least a third to a half of it will be cut off, sent into the composter, or you can keep cuttings and start 100 new mandevilla plants for you and your neighbors off little cuttings that you're going to take off of that green, fresh growth. And then let it be and let that next set of new growth be ready to go to be outside in the spring, to be covered in flowers by June.
Okay, let me just understand. So I'm going to wait till February. Mm-hmm. The new shoots that are coming as we speak, I just wind them into the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then February, I cut those shoots and the old?
Yep, some of the old's going to come out as well in order to do the kind of hard pruning you're going to need to do. Now, you don't want to completely defoliate it in the process. Have you got some leaves on the older growth at this point?
Oh, tons.
Yeah, okay,
nothing,
good.
Nothing died
good.
Over the winter.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
No,
nothing,
it's a happy plant.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So big.
Yeah, you could technically go and do like a hard pruning today if you wanted, but you're going to have to do it again. So that's why I'd be inclined to just do one sort of serious pruning and then make that the one that forces a whole bunch more growth. Then it's a huge plant going out in the spring.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm doing this because my daughter-in-law buys them every year, mm-hmm. throws them out every fall, mm-hmm. and I tell her, no, there's got to be a way, so I want to be right.
Yeah, good. Good. Well, it's like so many plants. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but like amaryllis, I can't tell you how many amaryllis I've killed over the years, and yet I'm being so successful with amaryllis right now, I'm thinking I'll start a farm. I mean, it's like, I just can't go wrong. They just keep blooming. It's like crazy. So you just don't, you know. It's practice sometimes. Practice makes perfect.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Evelyn.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
I wonder how my neighbor, Sean, or Lana, is coming along with my TV.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
I am the worst guy
when it comes to technical stuff.
I've noticed that, actually.
You've noticed that, yeah. So last night, I couldn't shut the TV off.
Like it didn't want to listen to its remote control.
And then
did you consider the batteries in the remote?
Oh, golly. Oh,
sometimes when something won't respond to a remote control, I think batteries in the remote.
Geez, never thought of that. Anyway, I have wonderful neighbors, Sean and Lana Freeman. I called them up this morning and said,
"Help!"
Yeah, exactly. So I was promised by Lana
TV 911.
They'll send one of them are going to be over there to attack the problem. Because we want to watch the game today.
Of course. So when does
Canada
that start?
Finns. I think 12:30.
Oh gosh, yeah.
So gee whiz. Anyway,
what are you going to do?
I hate being such a stoop. Hey Judy in Stratford. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm calling about a mandevilla vine.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is a yellow mandevilla vine.
Nice, yep.
And, you know, my white one and my pink one flower and do beautifully in the house all winter and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But my yellow one, it needs a 911 call. These little sticks, and I'm sure it's dead. Is there something special you have to do with the yellow ones?
So often with yellow plants, they are not the original species plant. So they are mutants along the way, and they have been maintained by mankind as cultivated varieties, and they don't tend to be nearly as vigorous as the reds, the whites, the pinks. So whether it's yellow roses or yellow hibiscus or so many that are not natural yellows, they tend to be what I would call a pretty wimpy plant.
Okay.
So they are always on the verge of just you know, saying goodbye. And so they do need TLC that's far beyond what your much tougher, more vigorous reds and pinks often need. So right now, when you look at that yellow plant, is it just a dried up stick?
Uh-huh.
And do you think it goes all the way down? Like if you went right down to the base of the plant, the stems coming out of the soil, and you gave a little scratch to the bark there, do you think you'll see any green underneath, or do you think it's just dry? It's probably dead then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could, again, with the weather changing as it is, though it's kind of right now changing a bit more to winter, but as we see spring on the horizon, the plants see it too. One of the ways to find out whether plants are alive is, again, just cut a plant like that right back, cut it back, you know, 80% of it, out it goes, and leave what's left in that pot, in that sunny spot. Do not overwater. And if there's life in those roots, you will start to see some little green buds growing off of those little stumps that are left behind.
Okay. Right. Now, when you were talking about starting the mandibles from the cuttings, mm-hmm. how did you do that?
Well, when cuttings are easiest to grow from the newest growth, so the mm-hmm. softest, greenest growth, we call those softwood cuttings.
Okay.
So whether it's inside our homes, the geraniums, the hibiscus, things that we want to have more of for the future garden that we have planned for this coming summer, as the new growth is coming through, as long as you've got a 3 to 4 inch tip, what we call a tip cutting. Mm-hmm. And of course, with mandevilla, that doesn't take much because they'll grow 3 or 4 inches in an hour. Mm-hmm. And so it's taking those cuttings. Remember that along those stems that you're cutting off, there are bumps.
Yep.
And at each of the bumps is where the leaves will emerge. And those bumps are called nodes. And it's also at those bumps where roots will emerge, because plants are pretty cool that way. They can grow anything at any point. You just have to encourage what you want. So if we take the little stem cuttings, we take a couple of those bumps along the stem, we put those bumps under the surface of a moist media, like a soilless mix. And particularly if we use a little bit of a stimulating rooting hormone along that stem over those bumps, keep the whole thing moist in a warm spot, roots will grow out of those nodes, and you'll have a whole brand new plant growing out of the top of the stem cutting that you took.
Well, I did that, and I even put a plastic bag over it. Mm-hmm. Mine didn't take, so I wondered if I was to do something else.
The plastic bag is a good idea because you hold moisture around the plant when the plant doesn't have roots and it can't get moisture. The problem is make sure that plant is not in the sun.
Right.
Because
right.
you create a little oven if you have that plastic bag and the plant in the sun. So, okay. yeah, warm spot, bright spot, indirect light with the plastic bag, the watering, the misting, keeping that moisture, the moisture levels high, and stimulating, it's called stim root, which is the rooting hormone for number one is for the softwood cuttings. That actually makes a real difference as well. And be sterile, be really clean. Make sure it's brand new, hygienic, clean, never been used potting mix, and obviously clean scissors, and your hands are clean, everything's clean. You'll have best success.
And something else I wanted to tell you. Last week, a lady that you were talking about spider mites.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this spray, and it's Wilson's One Shot, and I find that is the best thing for spider mites, for aphids, anything. I start spraying maybe the middle of February and do it once a month, and I don't have any kind of bugs. And I have all kinds of, like, you know, flowers that you get to that kind of stuff, but I find this stuff works wonderfully.
So you spray once a month on principle?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Wow, hey, good
interesting.
For
you. I've never heard of that. I'll look that up, One Shot, see what's in there.
Yeah, it's in a green can, and I just find it amazing.
Well, that's great, Judy.
That's
thank you for the tip.
Yeah, love tips.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Oh, right. And I'm sure Wilson's also appreciates that as well.
Yeah. When you're talking about putting the new cuttings in a non-soil, like vermiculite?
Well, we call it a soilless mix because the potting, it used to be that there was such a thing as potting soil, and there was soil in there. Nowadays, most of the mixes, you know, when you go to the garden center and you buy flowers in the spring, those plants are not growing in any soil at all. It is a mix of vermiculite and perlite and peat moss, and there's often core and all kinds of things in there, but no soil. So it's a soilless mix that's very sort of the
Well,
norm
thank you for
these days.
It up for me.
No worries, yeah.
Well, hey, look, we bumped right up against our next break here. So we're coming back to say hi to Jane in Newmarket and more here on The Garden Show. I'll remind you of the numbers. We have a couple of lines open still. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Charlie Dobbin will return in moments.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, the folks kept you fairly busy this morning, you know?
I like that.
Which is good, yeah.
But wait, let's just, Shirley.
Yes.
Hi, Shirley.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out. Shirley's the best. And she's up there at your place trying to make that TV work. So assuming she's listening to the show, and, you know, we love Shirley, check the batteries in the remote.
Yeah.
Before your neighbors come over.
And in the little back door there, that cupboard, that's where the batteries are on.
It's so, double A's, I think you need.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, jeez. All right. Oh, gadzooks.
I know.
Help from every source is welcome.
It's true. Well, we, you know, we share, and that's how things work, right?
Okay. Jane in Newmarket, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
I've got a cyclamen plant.
Mm-hmm.
I've had at least 4 years.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's done very well. Mm-hmm. But right now, the leaves are healthy. Mm-hmm. It's facing in a solarium north and west, lots of windows.
Mm-hmm.
It has those curly things. I assume it's flowers in the center that are sitting there.
Uh-huh.
Is it going to bloom again?
You said you had about a couple of years. It stopped blooming along the way?
4 years, easily.
Okay. And when did you last see blooms on it?
Last summer, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, it's the flowers almost look like fiddlehead ferns, right? When they come up. So they, not that they unroll like a fern, but they come up and they've got the little sort of, like you said, the curly bit, and they are in the center. So absolutely, yes. I mean, this is the time of year where cyclamen bloom. They are very much of a winter flower and a Valentine's flower. So for sure, if it's in, sounds like it's in a good spot, you're watering from below, I assume.
I water not too much, and I make sure it's drained out.
Okay, but always water into the saucer below. Because cyclamen grow from a tuber, and that tuber is almost kind of shaped like a concave, how to explain, like, you know, a cup, like a cup, if you will. When we water from the top, sometimes water can get trapped in that little cup of a tuber, and it can rot. So by watering from below, you avoid rotting the tuber. But, I mean, obviously, if it's looking good and green and all that important stuff, you know, you're doing lots of things right. Main thing is you're right, do not let it sit in water. And yeah, absolutely, keep it in that spot. Turn it every, you know, 180 degrees every couple of days. I have a cyclamen. It has not stopped blooming for probably 2 years. It's just, it blooms all the time. And I just water, I feel the soil, and then I just put in, might be, gosh, not much, quarter cup of water, half a cup of water at the most, into the saucer below, and do that every, whatever, 5, 6, 7 days, depending on the feel of the soil. Because you want to water based on the water requirements, not based on the calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But yeah, if they're due to bloom again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes in the bottom of the pot.
Good.
So I have a coffee filter in the bottom.
Okay. Yeah, just
so
keep.
I can still water from below.
Sure. Yeah, that coffee filter just helps keep the soil from coming out all those drainage holes, which is fine. And
all right.
And again, it's if you have a blooming flowering plant type fertilizer on hand, you could consider mixing some of that into your water and start using that when you are watering. Just mix it at half the rate that's recommended and use that when you're watering. And I think you'll find you'll definitely get blooms if you do that.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Let us know how that works out. Thanks, Jane.
Keep in touch. Keep in touch. We are up to our next break already.
Wow.
And because we have many callers online, including two new callers we'll get to momentarily.
Excellent.
As you listen in to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
You know, Charlie, you've had a very busy morning.
I have. And you know what? I look back, almost every single caller has been asking about flowering plants.
Ah.
There's only Josie was asking about seed storage. Everybody else is flowers. So we're desperate for color.
All right. Let's see if that's something is on Teresa's mind in Mississauga. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
I have a question about my African violet.
Mm-hmm.
When and how often should I fertilize?
Okay, so is it flowering now?
It has a couple flowers, and this is what it does. It has beautiful green leaves. Mm-hmm. It only gives me like 2-3 little flowers, and the leaves seem to dry out quite often.
Okay, so the rule of thumb is when a plant is actively growing, and actively flowering, that's the time to feed them.
That's the time to feed them?
That's right.
Okay.
So what I would do is, if you do have some flowers or buds on that African violet.
I do now, yes.
Yeah, do mix up. And again, it's a very specific African violet food that you're going to.
I do have it, and I haven't used it in I don't know how long. Does that fire after a few years?
No, it does not go bad. It's fine. Just, okay. It's good forever and ever, as long as it's not compromised in any way. So yeah, just follow the instructions, mix some up, err on the side of, you know, under mixing the fertilizer rather than over mixing. Because remember, it's like the one a day vitamins are really, really good, but 2 one-a-days is toxic. So people tend to think a little bit of fertilizer is good, therefore more is better, and that is not the case. So now, follow the instructions. So err on the side of less fertilizer rather than more.
Okay.
But if it is showing some growth and some blooms and buds, absolutely feed it now.
Okay. I have it on that little 4-inch pot. It's been there for 2-3 years.
That's
Should
fine.
I transplant it?
Nope. Not unless you see roots growing out the bottom.
No, I don't.
Yep.
Okay.
They stay in those 4-inch pots for a very long time.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a happy new year.
Thank you.
Thank
you too.
All the best to you, Teresa. Now, just a minute, Frankie reaches for the bell.
Nice.
There we are. That's for Jacqueline in Port Dover. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning and happy new year to you both.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you. I'm calling about my garlic.
Mm-hmm.
I planted my garlic in November when the fall show was on in Simcoe.
Yeah.
Last year, my garlic was just amazing.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I planted it in the same garden, mm-hmm. a different spot,
mm-hmm.
but my garlic is up about 6 to 8 inches already.
Because of the mildness. The ground hasn't frozen. So the garlic is responding to this growing because it thinks it should. Garlic grows when it gets cool, like refrigerator temperatures. That's why we never store garlic in our fridges. It starts to grow. So that's what's going on. Now, you're worried that once we do get some real winter, all that green is likely to frost off, which is definitely possible. It may not. It may just sort of fall over or hang in a bit. There's really nothing you can do at this point. You know, cross your fingers and hope that there's enough energy in the bulb still that even if frost knocks down the green bits that are up now, the garlic will grow again when real spring arrives.
Cut the green down.
No. Let nature take its course on that. It may, like I said, just turn yellow and have to start again. Or, you know, if snow falls and falls over top and protects and stays, you'd be amazed that garlic can stay green under the snow. So we just kind of, in these mild winters, do throw plants off, but I think you'll find it will be fine. It's like the daffodils that start to come up early, and then we get big, you know, snowstorms after that. The daffodils are fine. They come through all that. They just hunker down and wait till the snow melts. So that garlic should be just fine.
Okay. I'll look forward to it in the spring.
Okay. Let us know.
So
it should be fine.
Thank you,
Jacqueline.
Thank you.
And this could well be our final caller. I don't know. We'll find out here.
Right.
Maureen calling in from North York. Just a minute here. First-time caller as well. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning. Happy New Year, Frank. Happy New Year to Charlie.
Thank you. Welcome.
I want to hear that bell ring.
Did you not get it?
There you go.
You have your wings. You're officially a member of the club.
I'm calling about my giant poinsettia, Charlie. I sent you a picture of it. You know, the 3-foot wide. It's doing great, but it's in a pot that doesn't have drainage. And I'm wondering, though, if this is not a good time to repot it.
No, not really. Because it's all in color right now, right?
Yes, it's all in color. It's all beautiful red and more. It keeps new leaves are still turning red.
Good. And is that something that you planted it into that pot with no drainage, or it was given to you like that?
No, it came like that. Actually, it's a funny story. A friend of mine was at a garden center. She says, "I've got some large poinsettias." I said, "Okay, I'll take a red one." She came in with this thing that was 3 feet wide.
Yeah, right, like a monster. Well, okay, so never, ever, ever, as you recognize, do we want plants growing in pots or any kind of container with no drainage? That's a big no-no. However, this would not be the optimal time to do any modifications. I would wait. You're going to keep that plant in your house as a house plant throughout the winter and the spring. the red leaves that look a bit like flowers are going to drop just very naturally and normally over the next few months. New green growth is going to start to grow. What I would do is in probably about May, perhaps you're in North York, so yeah, it might be May, might even be early June. I would be taking it outside, get my pruners, get that new fresh pot, get the fresh potting soil that you're going to use, and I would be cutting that plant back by at least a third at that time, and I'd be transplanting it into a pot with drainage, and then I'd leave it outside for the spring and summer in a shady spot, really. They grow quite nicely in the shady spots, so it'll be a nice green bushy plant when you bring it in August or September, and you put it in the dark for, you know, 12 hours a day for the next 2 months, and then you bring it out, and it's amazing for next Christmas.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate that.
There you go.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining calling. Us. On this, I was just sitting here thinking as you were chatting with Maureen there, this is the first Saturday of the 2020s.
It is.
Yeah, the brand new decade. And it's funny, some people are trying to kind of figure out, what do we call this, the Roaring 20s.
Yes.
And when we hearken back to the original Roaring 20s, yes, like 1920s, it was all about prohibition and booze and stuff like that, you know, that they were trying to prohibit.
Right.
And
but why they call it roaring? Now, roaring had to do with like music and parties and all the people that were imbibing the illegal substances, I guess.
Prohibition was all part and parcel of that. But now with edibles coming on stream this coming week, apparently, that gives a little more credence to that, you know, roaring 20s.
Except it's funny because if you know anything about eating marijuana or cannabis, nobody roars. it's like
you snooze.
Exactly. It's like a total body stone. You just sit there going, okay, everything's fine. I don't need to move again for the next 4 days.
So have we got time for one more call, do you think?
If we go fast enough.
Mary in Oakville. Good morning. We're the last caller coming in. Hello.
Marion.
Marion, how are you? Good morning.
I'm good. I'm going to be very quick. I know you're at the end. A week or so ago, I heard Charlie saying about explaining about Christmas cactuses, about feeding, fertilizing. Mm-hmm. And I've had them for years, and I feed them. I'm too good to them. I feed them every time I water my plants. Oh, I feed everything.
Okay.
And I thought I heard you say
they need a downtime.
Yeah.
Dormant.
And when?
After they're finished flowering. So are they flowering now or are they done?
No, they're done.
Okay, so now is a time to pull back on your watering and don't fertilize for at least the next 6 to 8 weeks. So you will water, but be very careful with your watering. Only water when they're very, very dry. They do need a downtime. It's like their winter or their drought. It's you know, just a rest. They need a rest.
Okay, so I can probably let them go for almost 2 months without
no fertilizer,
like a lot of watering.
And very
it's the fertilizing because I usually put my fertilizer in one container and everything gets in, right?
Yeah, I hear you. But you've got to just feed the plants that are actively growing and allow the plants that aren't actively growing to hunker down. Okay.
Marion, I'm glad we snuck you in here.
Yeah, thanks for
the
calling.
The last little bit of the show, because we are down to about 5 seconds.
I know. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Charlie.
Couldn't do any of this without you. Good luck with your TV.
Oh, thank you.
And good luck to the Junior A's. And thank you, Duncan. Couldn't do without your help either. Great calls. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.